This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gonna get hard.
Speaking of that, where did Diggs get in trouble at? Where was he at? Was he in Texas?
Diggs was
where,
open.
I don't know where this happened.
It sounds like a real California.
Don't know where it happened, but the suit was filed in Houston, in Harris County, so I'm guessing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, maybe it did.
Damn, H-Town.
Brought it on here, huh?
Well, there's a lot of Californians moving to Texas, so maybe
sure,
it was California.
Probably
is.
Yeah. A lot of Missourians, too.
Baby.
Yeah, how about that? All right, the drive is live, and today, the final time this week, our show, your chance to win rodeo tickets. On a rodeo ticket Thursday, Zach Top. That's the 27-year-old gentleman that you said is real, real classic.
I'd say traditional country. Real classic traditional. Is that would be spot on as well. A solo act, kind of in the cloth of the George Strait, Alan Jackson, as Tyler so accurately put yesterday. The Tracy Lawrence 90s country vibe and sound, the whole look, everything is traditional. Everything is traditional. It's good, man. That's a good one right there.
Coming up.
Turn that thing up a little bit.
Right, let him ride with it. Coming up, 3 o'clock hour, 3 and 5 o'clock hour, you will have chances to win tickets to see Zach Top coming up at the rodeo. And that's coming up. Hey, four tickets. You can take you can take three other folks, but say four in here.
Tyler's looking like he's. Tyler's are you sure, weird. Tyler?
It's been that way the whole time, right?
That's what I read. Well, I'm just reading four. You know, yeah, I read.
That look is because Tyler put it in there, and he's second guessing what he put in there.
Well, it was more the way Ron presented it. I was like, oh crap. And I was thinking about Texans tickets Tuesday.
I presented it a question like
no.
I did. Jay.
All you know, that like say said, yes. Party? It's four. No, not put on
party?
You.
Like, all right, a 4-pack of tickets coming up. First chance you will have to win those is in the 3 o'clock hour and also in the 5 o'clock hour. Now listen, you need to be listening because this is the final time this week. You got a chance to win some earlier today. On Payne and Pendergast, within the loop, this is it. Until next Tuesday will be your chance to win those tickets. All right, hey fellas, I'm kind of I got Netflix this last night, had me up to about 2:45.
Oh, what got you? What had you?
That Gabby, that American
Petite
Murder,
whatever's your name.
Oh man,
I powered through that the other night, dude. That is, it was a good 3-part doc.
Like, have you been? When's the last time you've been there? I've been there. I'm sitting there. I pull up. You know, clean up the kitchen, Courtney. I pull up and sit up there. I roll through. I said, oh, I'll get it. I'll just check this out. I got to that first episode, but you know, I couldn't, and I thought I was going down. I thought, you know, it's one about 11:45. I thought this will get me on to the end. And I'm telling you, I'm 30 minutes into that first episode, and now I'm on the edge. And I'm like, well, all right. This is what I'll do. I'm gonna just watch it until the intro comes on, just to get me ready on the second one. That intro came on, and they was out at that van. Spoiler alert, they're out the van. I said, oh,
felt your pulse go up.
I said, oh, man, let me get in here.
Dude, it's because all the footage they have.
Oh, like, my God.
Like, it's so intriguing because there's so much actual video of them, like, on their little van trip and stuff. The blogging, the video blogging, that stuff is nuts.
And then at one point, I thought it was fate for me to continue to stay watching it, because after the second episode ended, I hit the exit button, which generally takes me on out. And it didn't go
out. Oh, it was meant to be.
It didn't go out. So I said, oh, hell. Let me just. And I was doing it. And then it went, you know, like, you know, 4 seconds until the next episode. And the next episode came back on and they had me again.
Before you could get up and get shuffled on, saw it.
That's 247.
I've actually watched one of the shorter, like, it was more like the first 48 type deal on that, like right when it was going on, right after it all happened.
I'd never heard of this story.
Oh, yeah, I'd
And clearly by watching it, it was a national story.
Yeah, I was on the rock or something.
Yeah, it was definitely a national story. But there, anyway, I watched that, so I'm familiar with it, and I've there's been probably two or three times and I've been like, all right, let me settle in and take a peek at this, and I get distracted. But good to hear, it's a great one. I need to watch it, man.
Oh, you hadn't seen it?
Very good.
Oh man, they had me.
I mean, I'm a sucker for any true crime kind of docs like this, documentaries, but this one's one of the better three-parters I've seen in a minute.
Yeah, it leaves me with even though I know what happened, still leaves me with questions. Whatever. I'm running on about 4 or 5 hours, more close to 4 hours. But I'm good though. I'm good. I'll give me a coffee.
You ain't no damn rookie. This ain't your first rodeo.
It's not. I'll be good. I do want to pass this across, and I want to get everybody's texter who just texted in. That's what I was trying not to give away to Clint. You're damn right. 516. You are damn right. I completely agree with you. Both of them. Both of their asses. Anyway.
What happened?
I don't want to give it away. You can't know that part. Don't read that part of the text line. All right. I want to pass this across, get everybody's reaction to this. The Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. The beautiful people on YouTube and Twitch.
I growl and bark.
The Chiefs, this comes out. The Chiefs plan to tag Trey Smith with the hopes to work out an extension with him. Sources confirmed to the Kansas City Star. The Chiefs are planning to franchise tag him, and it's an intriguing move as KC hopes to keep one of its best free agents. He would get $23.4 million on a 1 year fully guaranteed, because that is the cost to franchise him as a guard. So they'll try to get a long-term deal worked out so they won't just be that flat rate. But he is the number one interior lineman free agent out there. And to me, I think if for the Texans, I'm not saying it's devastating. But this is not a good thing for the Texans that they don't have the ability to at least have the chance to bring in a Trey Smith. And that to me, and I've heard some people kind of talk about it in certain ways. But Trey Smith would have been the perfect fit at a right guard for this team. And they're going to potentially, it looks like, have to look at other resources to try to fill that void.
Yeah, look, I mean, you can argue he's a top two or three free agent at any position that's available, given where he's at in his career and what he's done. I understand there's some advanced stats out there from a pass protection standpoint. Some graphs that I've seen that aren't real friendly.
Yeah, he's not perfect.
To Trey Smith. He's not perfect, but I'll argue when you play in front of Pat Mahomes, there's going to be some skewed numbers out there, especially when it comes to pass protection. He's not afraid to hold it. He's not afraid to create. He's not afraid to run backwards and throw it across, you know, all kind of jive. So I'm less worried about that and more worried about just Trey Smith with the package, the kind of guy that he is in terms of physicality, a real pro, obviously an extremely high ceiling, a true blue, built for interior O-line play. I mean, that's just what the Texans have to find. They have to find at least one, if not two of those. And obviously the higher rated the free agent is, the more surefire they're going to be. So you don't want to watch too many interior offensive linemen that are available on the free agent market. You don't want to watch them fall by the wayside one way or another while you're sitting there holding your pocket, you holding your wallet.
Good save, dude.
You could have said,
what'd y'all think I was going to say?
You could have said nuts, balls.
Oh. You went with pocket.
I meant hands in your pocket. Or sitting
that
on your hands.
I think I'm going to do that the rest of the way.
I've never held a pocket.
You going to hold your pocket?
I'm holding my back pockets the rest of the way right here. Cornbread on YouTube and Twitch. On to the next. You had to know the Chiefs wasn't going to let him go easily. No, I mean, it's somebody I would say that's kind of it's kind of
plugged in
with that organization. I think this, it's not a shock, but it is a bit of a surprise when you start adding up the numbers. They are they're paying their right tackle a ton of money in Juwan Taylor. They just made their center the highest paid center by a lot in football. They are paying Joe Tooney a huge amount of money, and he could get a new contract. And then they already need to make some additions at left tackle. And so it is a bit surprising that they are willing to put themselves in a position to take on $23.4 million if they don't get a long-term deal worked out. So I think it is a little bit surprising. I thought Trey, if you would have told me by the end of the year, I would have said Trey Smith would be gone. Because they've got some other guys that they need to take care of. I would have believed Trey Smith was going to be gone. So I think this, for me, somebody who I would say is a bit plugged in, I am a bit surprised that they are being this aggressive and going after Trey Smith like this.
Well, I mean, I got to believe this is just a step to move in a direction of getting a long-term deal done, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
to try to make it not that big of a hit.
You keep him from hitting the free agent market.
Hitting the free agent market.
You lock him up and give yourself first right of refusal.
But then also, if you get a long-term deal, it's not going to be $24 million,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
You know, that you can't move around. They can sign a bonus and make that thing cheaper. But the one thing I have heard, I was listening to Sean as he was on talking to Luke and Reggie, and Reggie kind of talked about it a bit too, talking about the money, and I'm not sure if you want to pay that much or what it would cost for a guard. For the Texans and where the Texans are going, like I'm not saying you go nuts, go crazy, and just give somebody $30 million a year, but it was so bad. Like, my thing is, if you got a chance to get the best. Like, I heard the conversation of, hey, you don't have to be great at guard. No, I mean, no, you don't have to, but, like, if I'm a Texans, I've sat here for 5 years and watched this. Like, I think maybe it's time, maybe we try to take a chance and maybe get one of the best at the guard spot, right? Like it feels like that's been, like, hey, let's just make it work with okay guys. No, it hadn't worked.
Yeah.
But it hadn't worked to the tune of we're on our sixth offensive line coach.
Yeah.
That we feel like. So, to me, if they're not seeking out at least entertaining the best options out there, that's got to be at least. The hell with just okay options.
I would rather be great at guard than tackle. I just disagree. Now, I think there was
you've been saying for a minute, you think the game is moving towards the interior pass.
Absolutely. 100%. There's zero doubt about it. There's zero doubt about it in my opinion right now. If you said, hey, what would you rather have? You know, two really good tackles or two really, like the center of your O-line, guard, center, guard, solidified. And give me the middle of my line solidified, without a doubt, no question about it. One, it's going to be cheaper. But two, like my quarterback has no chance. You saw it this year. You had Laremy Tunsil, arguably the best pass blocking tackle in the game. You had Laremy Tunsil, and your quarterback was still the most pressured and the most hit. I know not literally 32nd, but one of the most hit quarterbacks and sacked as much as anybody other than who had more sacks? Caleb Williams. Right? And boy, we saw that was a jailbreaker. We saw that earlier.
If you add what he got in the playoffs, he hit it.
Yeah. So, I just am at a point where I'm going to turn a deaf ear to the whole, what are you going to do in pass protection if you don't have a Laremy Tunsil type deal? We just watched what happens if you've got a lockdown tackle. What could possibly happen? So that argument is dead in the water to me. I don't think it's coincidence that Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, which you just mentioned, had Joe Tooney stayed at his position, guard, center, guard, that has been as good if not better than anybody in the league, and they were in another Super Bowl. Right, I mean,
the
so
team they played against is really good,
pretty damn good, right? They're pretty. That's a different animal. Like I try to look at the teams that are going to have to win the way that have won the way that C.J. Stroud's going to have to win with the Texans, and I don't think it's coincidence that Andy Reid looks at it and goes, "Let me solidify the middle of my offensive line. and my tackles. And I know Juwan Taylor's got some, they got some money wrapped up in him. But at the end of the day, I'm willing to bet you, you ask Andy Reid, like he feels really comfortable in protecting his edges with extra, with certain protections, with scheme, with other players. But there ain't nothing you can do about that inside offensive line. I'm telling you, give me, this fits right into my blow it up and start over here with the Texans, which I know is not happening. But give me that middle, solidify the middle of that line and let me ride.
And as someone texted in just now to the text line, the Kansas City guard deal is a lesson in how important it is to protect your quarterback if he's the kind that makes you what you are. And I would just say, I know some people don't think a lot of the Chiefs, but I would think that you would love to have the similar amount of success that the Chiefs have had. And I believe most of you respect and believe Andy Reid is a guy who is somebody that knows a lot of what he's doing.
Bundle of Ruski do.
His quarterback is due to make $66 million next year. And he's got a middle linebacker that he probably wants to bring in. Justin Reed's a free agent. Charles Omenihu's a free agent. And he is willing to potentially put $24 million on the line for a guard. But like, and going and saying, hey, I'm going to keep this dude. This is the importance. I've taken care of the middle three of my guys thus far. So I think Andy Reid is showing what he views as the importance of not just having okay guards or okay interior guys. And to me, that kind of says something. So listen, I hope that it isn't like, hey man, we're out on Trey Smith, but hey man, we're willing to drop to the middle because it's cheaper somewhere for the Texans. I hope they are hoping and looking and saying, hey man, let's try to get the best absolute guy that we can get on the market, not the bargain.
Yeah, at guard and center, by the way.
You continue. I've just accepted that it's just going to be one.
Well, no, you're. Look, there is for whatever reason, it seems like there's a, maybe because they missed a few times, but for whatever reason with this crew, it seems like there doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency to fix the offensive line. They talk about it, right? But it doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency. We'll see how we go into this year. But it seemed in the past, boy, you went into the year with some really suspect starting interior players, and then it just got worse, and you ended up having to move one of your tackles inside. Amazing. There was no backup plan. So the sense of urgency clearly isn't what I would think that it would be, and it doesn't seem like it's moved that direction right now. We'll see what kind of moves they make over the next couple of months.
And, yeah, you got some get-by guys.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to say, maybe we should get some for show guys up in here. All right, coming up, I know with the Astros, as they are playing right now, we'll give you an update on what's going on there. But one guy is really impressing Clint Sterner and impressing him in the way that I think there probably is some fair concern about how the Astros fill this void. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we continue rolling through. The Astros, they are in West Palm Beach taking on, they're in Florida in the Grapefruit League, taking on the New York Mets. And this had been a 0-0 game all the way through until the fifth, and the Mets now lead 5-0.
It's not ideal.
In that game, Jeremy Pena made his debut. He was 0-2. The big fella, Yordan Alvarez, or whatever.
Yordan.
Yeah, there it is. Whatever Spencer calls him. He was 0-3 with a strikeout making his debut. Cam Smith got him another hit today, so he got on base, but he is finally gotten out. So we saw a lot of guys out there, including Christian Walker. Christian Walker, Clint, 2-for-2 today. He's the new first baseman there. And Clint, I know there's a void that I don't know that you're majorly concerned about, but I know there's a void for you of, hey, Springer was kind of a big time vocal leadership guy. Verlander was a big-time vocal leadership guy. Correa was a big-time vocal leadership guy. Maldi was a big-time vocal leadership guy. And then it seemed that Alex Bregman kind of took that next baton to be that guy last year. And now it's a wonder all of those guys are gone. Who could be that guy? Well, Christian Walker, a vet in this league, a guy who has played in the World Series, coming over from Arizona, maybe that guy. This was him actually just kind of talking about his process and things going on in spring training to prepare for the season.
Just the mental capacity of staying locked in for 2.5-3 hours. Even now with the workouts, it's like, you know, 15, 20 minutes of work, and then you get a few minutes off. So getting back into the game where, you know, I only played maybe 4 innings or so, but, you know, just staying tuned in for 1.5 hours is a good challenge, and you just slowly build that. So I would say just getting used to staying locked in for the length of 9 innings.
It's the detail here, Ron, for me with Christian Walker. We've already heard about Christian Walker's his work ethic and how hard he works before games, after games, on the road, at home, during the season, in the off season, how hard he works and has worked to become the player that he is, particularly on the defensive side of the football. I mean, the defensive side at first base, getting the necessary reps defensively of all the different situational baseball type stuff. Like it's that part of it that makes Christian Walker really, really special. And when you talk about the void that you mentioned, I don't know that he steps in and has the ability to be that vocal guy, that leader, that let's say Bregman and Springer and Correa necessarily were. But I think he has the chance to have the same level of impact on this team because it's a different dynamic, right? You've got an older player that is setting the bar every day by showing up and outworking everybody and showing everybody, hey, this is the standard to be great. And it's coming at a time where you've got a lot of young players that this team is dependent on. There's a void in leadership as well. And so I just think that when you look at guys – that even the guys that have been here that some may think they don't need to be impressed upon. Jake Myers, Chaz McCormick, Jeremy Pena, Yainer Diaz. I'll even say Yordan Alvarez, talking about he taking his game to the next level, and definitely the youngsters that could potentially be a part of this story, the 2025 story late in the season, Cam Smith. When you talk about those guys, when you show up every single day and Christian Walker has already been there for an hour grinding, and when you leave the building every day and Christian Walker is still in the cage getting cuts in, that is contagious. Maybe that may not be to everybody, but that is contagious to the ones that are still trying to be the best that they can be, still trying to arrive and trying to establish themselves. I can't help but think Christian Walker, his presence in that building, in that clubhouse, is going to be felt big time by some of these youngsters.
And I think we're at a time, and the Astros are at a time where it's probably welcome, right? I don't know. I think maybe Jeremy Pena could be. Maybe Yiner, I'm not sure. But I don't know how many guys in there are like jumping up and down to step into the
right.
into that role. And like I think they're the Astros have a lot of, hey man, go do your business, lead by example type of guys.
Yeah.
And it does feel like, you know, he's a guy that can come in here with his veteran experience, pelts on the wall, as you talk about. He walks in with a resume that says, like, yeah, man, like, this guy can come in and we'll listen to kind of the advice he has. And it's different if you're walking in there, man, and Correa's in there and Springer and Verlander's in there, and you may be like, I think the two big guys on there, Altuve and Yordan, be like, hey man, go ahead, do that.
Yeah, do your thing. Yeah,
yeah,
take the lead.
Like we're not yeah. like at least verbally.
We're gonna go out here and play left field, kind of rotate through and swing the stick. We'll let you handle all the other stuff.
I forgot I named the left fielders.
two left fielders, two DHs. Yeah, no man. I just think
that's important when you're new. If you're coming in to.
Well, the thing is that I don't know that I don't think or expect him to need to do anything other than what he's already done. I think the void is what it is. I think the void, mentioning the void, is not like, oh, who the hell is going to step in and be that guy? Mentioning the void to me is you've got a bunch of youngsters that are looking up and trying to, they're looking for direction, they're looking for mentors, they're looking for, you know, for somebody to show them the way in the big leagues beyond just showing up and playing. And when that guy is wired like Christian Walker to a point where the audio we just played is talking about, hey, look, this is important because we've gone 4 months now of like just checking in for 15 minutes in the cage and then bull jiving and then kept checking in for 15 more minutes in the cage and bull jiving. Like it's important to train yourself to lock in for an hour, hour and a half, and then you work that up to 2 hours and you work it up to a complete game. Like that level of lock in and that level of work ethic and care, when one of the big dogs has that right there, the youngsters have a real bar to shoot at, man. That could end up being really valuable for the Stros.
And I think it's a good thing. He's not won a championship, but he's been at the highest level with Arizona making it a couple of years ago. All right, coming up as we continue, this is as the combine's going on and we get closer to the draft. This has been a conversation point about one of the top guys in the upcoming draft. We may be seeing him multiple times a year. That could happen. We'll discuss that big story coming up
next. The Houston Texans are on the clock.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, remember coming up next hour, 3 o'clock hour, will be your first opportunity, so you make sure you stay in and be listening and stay ready to win a 4-pack of tickets to see Zach Top at the rodeo coming up. So make sure you do that. You got a chance in the 3 o'clock hour. That's coming up next. Also in the 5 o'clock hour as well, we'll be hooking you up with a 4-pack of tickets to go see Zach Top. Be waiting in the 3 o'clock hour. So you got a little time. Tell some friends. I mean, the more people you let know, the higher chance you can win, and it's a 4-pack, so that's a good spot to try to get yourself.
Are you sure if they win, they're going to invite you?
Well, damn.
Are you sure? Yeah,
well, that's a good one. You got like it is crucial who you do call and say, hey, call up as well to 713-572-4610 if we get in. We can win these 4 tickets because that'd be a damn shame, wouldn't it, if you called that person
and they won
one of the 4?
You don't even get a thank you? It'll be rough right there.
I think you get
You get a thank you text. Maybe a picture from the rodeo with a picture of the 4 that 4 people that are there. Hey, man, thanks for the heads up on the old drive the other day.
And I really want to go see Zach.
That was clutch.
I just didn't know. I didn't know how I was going to get there, and you blessed me.
Letting you know Zach was great, man.
It was fantastic, man. I've seen him once, but I've always wanted to see him again live at the rodeo.
Zach Top was great, man. Next time he comes through town, we got to look at getting tickets.
Like, there's no scenario in which, right, if Tyler is sitting there and he's in his car and he's like, and he calls Blaine, and he's like, hey, Blaine, man, hey, be ready for it at 3-something. And there's like, and Blaine wins.
I wouldn't call Blaine. Wouldn't want to be on the phone for 2 hours.
I'm just using Blaine, man. I'm just saying, if you were driving, you weren't the producer that you are, and you were driving, he's like, hey, Blaine, let's see if we can get these tickets. Call. Like, Blaine has to invite you.
Any of my friends would. I mean, I'm a hell of a good time.
I'm just saying, but like,
you're going to sprain your shoulder, pat yourself on the back in there, bub.
There is no way. Like, just
facts.
Like, or would you be all right if he's like, hey, man, my parents really love Zach Top, and I want to take my lady, like, and the 4 tickets are Blaine, his parents, who really love Zach Top?
I'd say you tell Brad and Veronica to shut the hell up, and then I'm going.
Yeah, tell Brad and Veronica, they can draw straws and see who gets to go with me.
Yo, Blaine's mom, though.
Whew. Fine.
Whew. Oh, Tyler.
I might do. I might be like, hey, Blaine, all right, your mom can go, okay? But tell Brad that I'm taking that ticket.
Tell Brad to work at overtime. I'm taking his wife to the rodeo.
Brad and his mustache, they can stay home.
Brad and his stash.
Is it a thick one? Does he have a real thick one?
Oh, it's... Brad's got a great stash.
Is it just stash, though?
Just stash.
Oh,
is it Burt Reynolds?
Like, if you...
It's a different kind of stash than that, but it is.
I have never wanted to lay my eyes on Blaine's parents more than I have here in the last 5 seconds.
Great stash, great looking mom.
Well, I mean, if it's the mom, like he, what's her name again? Brad and Diana?
I made up her name because I can't remember, but his dad's name is Brad.
But his wife, it's got to be Burt Reynolds.
It's not like you to forget the good looking one's name.
I know, right?
If it's the mom is as on it as Tyler is saying,
it's got to be the big.
It's got to be a Burt. It's got to be a Burt.
The big thick caterpillar on the top lip.
It's got to be. It's got to be Burt Reynolds. 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch. Who else had great stashes? Just alone stashes. I was gonna say that Tom Selleck, right? He's a straight stash, right? I know he's got that taco meat coming out, but I think
Earnhardt Sr. Yeah. Tremendous stash for the Intimidator.
Yeah, he did. R. I think R. the King, Richard Petty, well, had him a nice stash.
Probably find a lot of them around NASCAR.
Probably would be. Maybe some country stars as well. They probably have some good
Alan
stash.
Alan Jackson got a good one.
Alan's got a good one. I think, didn't Carl Winslow, the father of Family Matters, as a cop, Reginald Phil Johnson,
that's good.
Didn't he have a stash?
Yeah.
Just a straight, thick staff.
Walter Cronkite.
Walter, yeah, Kevin Mitchell, the baseball player, Mets, Giants for years. He had a good, solid stash.
Didn't Dwight Gooden have one?
Oh, I don't know who that is.
He had a stash, and he had other
things. You don't know who Dwight Gooden is?
He had other things in his stash.
Along with Daryl?
Daryl didn't even wear one, Daryl. They just went out.
Daryl wanted to be able to wipe it off clean.
Now, could you imagine what those two jokers was doing in between innings?
No. No.
I know they've already told the story of pointing out young ladies in the stands and bringing them down in between innings.
No question.
And drilling.
Nice.
Hopefully those weren't 1-2-3 innings for both of them. Andy Reid, a good one.
John McClain.
I think I'd prefer that be a 1-2-3 inning. First timer?
Just the first time. Like, but what if you're like if you're knee deep, like if
it out of the stands, let me get a little dabble. Let me see if this is really worth it. And then
dip a toe in the water.
We may catch up after the game. Mid game, I think I'd prefer it be a 1-2-3 inning. Let's get.
But 1-2-3 inning, like
I mean, you get into some rough. If you pull something rough out of them stands, it's been sitting up there sweating all day, and it's a little. There's
But I mean,
you get down, and you don't want to be stuck around for a 10-run inning. I mean, you'd rather just let me sample and finish the game thinking about it.
But I'm just thinking, Tyler. I mean, if like, hey, we get it in. In between innings, I still got to run back out to left field. Now maybe if Doc's
there's still
not pitching,
a schedule here.
Maybe if Doc's not pitching, but I got to run back into left field. And if I'm in there, and this has been a 1-2-3 inning, and we got.
Oh, I just meant that I would prefer my performance be a 1-2-3 inning and out. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
On the field or in the sheets?
I don't the whole thing, Tyler. I want it to hurry up and get it over. Just give me a little sample. Let me get it over with, and then I can decide whether I want to come back for dessert.
I mean, you imagine.
Thank you, Low T.
In
whatever 5-star hotel the Mets are staying in.
That third out hits, and you're like, oh damn,
dang it!
I got to run back out.
Sorry, babe. I got to run.
We were just hitting up.
I mean, yeah. All right.
You just stay there. I'll be right back.
Ooh, yeah.
That's a hard be right back.
And all the Rolexes are gone out of the locker room.
That's a hard be right back, though, man.
Very hard.
Yeah, as D'Amico would say. But
you're going to get hit hard if you're playing against us.
play the Mets, baby. You're going to get hit hard. and have a little of that white girl candy to go with that white girl. All right. The GM for the Browns, and they've got the number 2 pick, he said that Travis Hunter, the wide receiver corner from Colorado in the draft that's going to be a top 3, top 5 pick, said he believes he can play both positions, corner and receiver. That's what makes him special. If you were in this situation, Clint, and you're drafting Travis Hunter, would you take playing both ways year one, would you take that off the table?
No.
I know there are a lot of people who are saying you got to just make him a corner, you got to just make him a receiver, that think you're putting too much on a rookie's plate and say he's just got to choose one at least early.
Yeah, no, I would allow him to do both. Now, I would limit the package offensively and just say, hey, here's – you know, here's what we're going to do. You're going to be a full-time corner, and we're going to start with just a package offensively, and let's get into the year and see how this thing goes. You know, this offense is going to be a little bit more sophisticated than what you were doing at Colorado. The expectations are going to be a little bit higher. And let's have a Travis Hunter package, kind of the way that all two-way players, or like I said, there's not anymore, but the way that two-way players used to do it.
Did the Raiders completely take that away from Charles Woodson? I think he just returned punts. I don't remember him playing a lot of offense.
Now, to me, it would be the. I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to tell him, look. It's going to be more like the old days, like Deion did, but there will be a true offensive package, like you are a receiver, and it's going to be a package, not just a DB that's coming over and playing wide receiver when we need to throw a screen or we need to throw a go route or whatever. Like, there will be a legitimate offensive package for you. Let's start that direction, and let's make sure you can handle it as a pro, because it's hands down a much. And I would imagine that Deion Sanders, I would imagine, would be on board with anything other than taking one side of the ball completely away from him. Like, I would think that Deion would be like, yeah, Trav, this is right. The playbook's 10 times as thick. The expectations are through the roof. It's not that you can or you can't do it. It's just, let's build to what you had at Colorado and what you've always wanted to do. Let's build to that, and let's spend a couple of months here of real pro football time getting you comfortable and deciding what exactly the sweet spot is.
I am praying that this kid doesn't go to some rigid, old school, like, small creativity thought type of a organization and coach. Because to me, you've got to use all of this kid's talent, and I mean right away. And I'm with you. I'm not saying that he's going to play 125 snaps like he was doing at Colorado both ways. But to take away either side, to me, is nuts. And I think there are some coaches, Clint, out there and some teams that would run that way. I think there are some guys that have that thought process. I hope he goes to somebody that's creative. I hope he goes to somebody. I know it's not going to be this guy, but you're talking like the Kyle Shanahans. You're talking guys that aren't afraid to use things, because I think we got a chance to one, see somebody really, really talented, really kind of take over things and do things we haven't really seen. And I think it's a trend. Like, for instance, you can't tell me that Derek Stingley probably can't get out there and run some routes. I'm not saying they're ever going to do it. I'm just saying there are guys who are talented that could make big plays and add to a team that is just, we're just not doing that because it's so hard to do both. I hope he goes somewhere where there is the thought process to be creative with his skills.
Well, the truth of the matter is, he's a unicorn, and it would be a crying shame in 2025 football, when these kids nowadays have the brands that they have, and let's be honest, the organizations are up against it in terms of fighting for the attention of their fan base, and whether that's online, social media, no matter how it is, you need, like, to have a player that legitimately was a two-way player and was a unicorn in the NFL, not just a unicorn athlete, but a guy got to the NFL, and there's only one of them. There's only one guy in the whole league that's legitimately playing both sides of the football,
like, and you got good. He's legit good.
Oh, you can argue
both sides, right?
You can argue he's a better wide receiver. Like, the ball skills on the offensive side of the football.
Would he be a first rounder if he was strictly either one of the positions?
Absolute.
Right?
Top 10. No question. Like I question. Like, to me, the natural athlete to flip over there and play cover two, cover three, quarters, like all the stuff he does defensively, he's done since he was knee high to a grasshopper. The stuff offensively is where you got to think about it. What's my splits, right? How am I getting off? Do I release outside? Do I release inside? How deep is my route? Is it a square cut or around a speed cut? You know, am I catching the ball in the first window or the second window? Like, the offensive stuff is the part that, if anything struggles because he plays two ways, it's the offensive side of it. But if you watch his film offensively, like, he does things that you can't coach offensively. Like, his ball skills and the ability to catch the ball below his knees without breaking stride, the ability, the body contortion back, and, you know, that stuff is just – not normal. And so I would argue that if he spent all of his time on one side of the ball, he would be better offensively than he would be defensively. Because again, we've seen him be great on the defensive side of the football, but he knows that like the back of his hand. If he knew the wide receiver position like the back of his hand, I think he'd be even better. So yeah, look, I just think this is a, for any team that gets him, to have him on both sides of the ball and have the only player in the league doing that, I mean, you're getting clicks galore.
The place I'd love him to go, I know he won't go there, he won't last that long. I wish Ben Johnson could get his hands on him. The Bears, Ben yeah. Johnson, he is somebody who is definitely not afraid to try stuff. Hell, he throws screens to tackles. Like he would have a lot of fun with them. But it looks like he won't get past two or three, and we'll see what happens there. But I hope we get a chance to see him use all his skill sets and be the best that he can be. All right, coming up, two teams that are in this division have started to show up on what has become the biggest story in the NFL the last week, and they could be involved in it. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Game changeness.